You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, says this, "And he, Jesus, passed by and saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples said, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It is not the man that sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in his life.'" Jump down to verse 6. "Having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with mud." Verse 7. "And he said, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,'" which means to be sent. "So he went and washed, and he came back seeing." Someone say seeing. "The neighbors of those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, 'Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?' Some said, 'It is he.' Others said, 'No, it just looks like him.' He kept saying, though, 'I am the man.'" Verse 10. "So they said to him, 'Then how were your eyes open?' He answered, 'The man,'" someone say man, "'named Jesus put mud and anointed my eyes and said, go wash in Siloam. So he went and washed, and I received my sight.'" Verse 12. "They said to him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I don't know.' So they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind." Verse 14. "Now it was the Sabbath day, and Jesus had made the mud and opened his eyes. The Pharisees again asked him, 'How did you receive his sight?' He said to them, 'He put mud on my eyes and I washed.'" Verse 16. "Some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath.' But others said, 'How could this man who's a sinner be doing these signs?' So there was division amongst them." Verse 17. "And they said to the blind man, 'What do you say about it, since it was your eyes that opened?' He responded, 'He's a prophet.'" Verse 18. "Then the Jews did not believe the man had been blind and received his sight. So they called the parents of the man who received his sight and asked them, 'Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he see?'" Verse 20. "His parents answered, 'We know this is our son and we know he was born blind. But now how he sees, we don't know, nor do we know how he opened his eyes or who opened his eyes. Ask him, for he is age and he will speak for himself.'" Verse 24. "So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, saying, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.'" They're talking about Jesus. "He answered, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know one thing. I was blind and now I can see.'" Jump down to verse 34. "They answered him, 'You're born in utter sin, and who are you to teach us?' So they cast him out." Verse 35, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man, or do you believe in God?' He answered, 'And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?' Verse 37, Jesus said, 'You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you.' Verse 38, he said, 'I believed,' and he worshiped him." I came to tell you this morning that the pure in heart bless God. And seeing him and knowing him is how God blesses you. The title of this message is part 6, Blessable, the Pure in Heart. Let's pray. Would you just lay hands on your heart all over this place? Would you just breathe in the presence of God? So Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would give us hearts to receive right now. I pray that you would give us pure hearts, clean hearts. You would heal our hearts. You would teach us how to guard our hearts. You would give us circumcised hearts. I pray right now that we would not have a heart of stone, but we'd have a heart of flesh. Lord, I pray that we would be vessels that would be in your potter's hands today. Lord, I pray right now that you would heal hearts. I pray that you would deliver hearts. I pray that you would touch hearts. Father, we declare right now that your word is true and that every man's a liar. We declare for your word to go forward and accomplish all that it set out to do. Lord, I pray that you would breathe right now your spirit spirit on your logos written word, and it would become rhema, alive and true. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in here. We declare every foul demonic spirit of religion, you are not welcome here. Holy Spirit, come in all of your glory. Come with all of your gifts. Come and do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. Lord, we declare this church will never be ours. It will always be yours. Father, I thank you that nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Teach us your mercy cultures. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said amen. And amen. We're in a series called Blessable. The psalmist said, oh, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord. The word blessed in the Greek means this, God's endless reach of favor. Blessed means this, there's nowhere you can go that God's favor cannot find you. But so many people are so fixated on God blessing them, they completely miss it all. Your strategy cannot be trying to get God to bless you. Your strategy needs to be blessing God. Because when your desire is to bless God, you automatically become blessable. In church, it's been this mystery, this conundrum. How do we get God to bless us? It's so easy. It's all you do is just be and live blessable. And the Beatitudes teach us what God blesses. So for the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about what blesses God. In part one, we talked about that God, the poor in spirit blesses God. And the kingdom and the culture of heaven is how God blesses you. In part two, those that mourn bless God. And the comfort of his Holy Spirit is how he blesses you. In part three, we learn the meek bless God. An inheritance of rest and peace is how God blesses you. Part four, righteousness blesses God. And the fullness of his presence is how God blesses you. In part five, we learn that mercy blesses God. And when God shows his mercy, it blesses us. Today, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, and it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Someone say pure in heart. The pure in heart bless God. That word pure in the Greek is the word katharos, which means without mixture. It means that you have not purged poison, or you have not mixed together the things of God, the purity of God, in wickedness. It means this, that your heart, those that have been purified by a refiner's fire. You all know that the way they get gold is by creating a fire and the impurities leave. Those that are pure have not mixed their hearts with wickedness. 2 Corinthians 6:17 for the purely King Jameser says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Someone just got blessed. They got a ye this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, ye. For the millennials, let me read the Message Bible. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with the dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would you think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us are a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way, I live in them, move in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So leave corruption, leave compromise, leave it for good, says God. Do not link up with those that pollute you. I want you all for myself. What we say at Mercy Culture is we don't make room for the Holy Spirit. We give him the room. Do you know that's how we're actually supposed to live for God? That we don't make room for him in our lives. We give him all of our lives. Listen, we do not partner with wickedness. We do not partner with corruption. We do not partner with wicked things. We partner with the Holy Spirit. Sin pollutes you. Sin poisons you. And sin, or the sin of the flesh, is obvious. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are obvious or evident. Sexually immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, worship anything but God, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rage, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and all these things. I warn you, as I did before, that those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin is obvious. But there is this movement to take what God calls sin or wickedness and call it good. The prophet warned Isaiah that a day is coming where men will call good evil and evil good. We are living in that day. If you are unaware, if you are having sex with anyone who's not your spouse, that is sin. And it does not please God. If you are unaware that it doesn't matter if you are attracted. God did not make you a certain way that is contrary to his word. And though you may be attracted to the same sex, you cannot partner in any homosexual relationship and have that relationship, no one clap, and have that relationship please God. Now let me help you. No matter what you're tempted with, no matter what you're struggling with, you are welcome in this community. You need to hear this. Because we have so got this wrong in church. What we have said in church is your actions make you impure. Your actions don't make you impure. Your heart is what makes you impure or pure. Some of you are struggling with what does this actually mean? It means this. The things that you do is not what makes you wicked. It's the things that in your heart you compromise with. You embrace, you mix yourself with. See, here's the thing, is the purest in heart sometimes have the dirtiest of hands. But in their heart, they know it's wrong. See, where you begin to turn in wickedness in your heart is when you say the things that God says are wrong, when you start calling them good. That is when wickedness gets in your heart. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what you're tempted with. I'm just telling you, do not make your identity your temptation. I'm talking about matters of the heart, but for some reason, we're so concerned with the outward. We're so worried about how you're dressing. Are you dressing holy enough? It has nothing to do with your dress. But let me help you, because some people need help and they just need to grow in this area. So let me help you dress. You know how you dress? The same way we worship. We say the best thing that you can do is give attention to God. The worst thing that you can do is draw attention to yourself. If your dress draws attention and eyeballs to you, we need to help you. And we will father you and mother you and help you. Like, whoops, there she did it again. You're missing stuff. We'll help you. We have MC Connect, a lot of new merch. Fear, go. Whatever you're wearing, go. That's got to go. Come over here and let the Holy Spirit help you. Listen, but that is not a wicked heart thing. That's a little girl that needs attention thing. We have to understand the difference between actions and behavior and the things that are in the heart. We have to go deeper. We have to look inside. We have to look at what God looks at. See, the blameless is about inner life. Purity is about the inner mind, the motives, the ambitions of people. See, the pure in heart have no agenda. The pure in heart have no manipulation. They don't use people. They don't draw attention on themselves from people. See, here it's just simplified. If you want to know what the pure in heart are, the pure in heart are those that really do love God and really do desire to please him. But as a pastor and ministry for over 18 years, I've noticed that those that have the purest of hearts usually don't have the purest of lives, because they're in a battle of pleasing the Lord and battling with the flesh. The psalmist said in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, a renewed and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, or take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Listen, too many times our focus on the outer overshadows the inner. Too many times it becomes behavior modification instead of heart transformation. Purity is inward, performance is outward. And we become so enamored with the outward performance of what people look like, how they sound, what is the display, do they look cute, are they hipster enough to lead worship? Majority of people can't tell the difference between an anointed worship set and an American Idol audition. You watch it and people come out of American Idol competitions crying and weeping and like it's church. It ain't church. All the cameras were on you. This is all about you. You are the idol. I just feel like I just need to bring some Holy Spirit correction as we're doing worship auditions. Listen, this is not your stage. And neither is it mine. No one came to hear me. No one came to hear them. We all came for a king. We all came for his presence. We came for one healer, one savior. We came for one moment with him. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Turn to your second choice and say, it's really not about you. 1 Samuel chapter 16 says this, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? Since I have rejected him from being king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king. See, the first king, God said, I let the people choose. He said, this time, I'm going to choose him. The people chose a king that liked him some of himself. But I'm going to choose a man that desires to please me. And Samuel, look, jump down to verse 3. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. And for you shall anoint for me him, look at this, whom I declared to you. Do you see that? This was the instruction. Anoint whom I declare to you. Verse 6, when they came in, when he took one look at Eliab and thought, surely he's the Lord's anointed. Now, in verse 3, God said, you shall anoint the one that I declare to you. But then in verse 6, he said he took one look and thought. God said, anoint the one that I say, but he took one look and thought. See, God said, I don't need you thinking. I need you hearing and obeying. Can I just pass to you for a second? See, this is what a lot of us do, is God speaks to us and gives us instructions, and what we do is we're trying to obey God, but what we do is we just follow the peace. Has God spoken to you? I'm just really following the peace. I just feel peace. Like, but you had peace about the last 7 booze. They got it. You had peace about the last 4 jobs. You had the peace about the last 6 ministries. You had the peace. Hold on, watch. No, I'm not talking down to anybody. I'm trying to bring you up. So I'm glad you feel the peace of God. That's good. But he has a voice. I got a son who's almost 2 years old, and we're potty training. He's doing really good. He only peed his pants twice yesterday. That's great. He hit it like 16 times. He goes like every 15 minutes. He's like a little racehorse, just everywhere, okay? But it's fantastic because he only missed twice. And we're like, good job, buddy. We only had to change two undies. Last week, it was a mess. It wasn't yellow. It was a mess. He's doing great. He only missed twice. Watch. But if he's 13 years old, that's not great. You following the peace is good, but it's not great. Watch. He has a voice. His name is Holy Spirit, and he speaks to his children. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He doesn't say, my sheep follow my peace. My sheep hear my voice and have my peace because they're obedient to my voice. So then God corrects Samuel and says, the Lord does not look at the outward, but God looks at the heart. Now, I love this scripture. And the reason why I love this scripture is because in my personal opinion, I believe that Samuel is one of the greatest prophets who ever walked the face of the earth. And surely he was the greatest prophet of that day. And one of the greatest prophets to ever walk the face of the earth, God said, I'm going to talk to you. He goes into a situation and then starts thinking for himself and misses God. And God in his mercy was so kind just to immediately correct him. But what I love about this scripture is that one of the greatest prophets who ever walked the face of the earth missed it. Watch. If he can miss it, we can miss it. And guess what? It's going to be okay. Because it's not about getting everything right. It's about a heart that desires to please God. Watch. The enemy will keep you from pleasing God by keeping you worried about what people think about you rather than just obeying God. Do you know that your heart to please God is greater than your prophetic gift? I got a 9-year-old little girl, and when she was in first grade, she came and made me breakfast for the first time. And as soon as I got up, she was so excited. She's like, Dad, come here. I did it all for you. And just the counter is just destroyed and stuff everywhere. And I sit down and there's some really, really dry eggs with a lot of shells in there and some burnt toast and coffee that is not hot, not cold, spew you out of my mouth flavor. And she's like, Dad, I made this for you. And I sat down like a good father and I was like, Heather, you got to come and try this. You ate of the fruit first, come eat of breakfast first. Let's make this a family event. And she's like, no, Dad, it's for you. And so I, you know, take a bite and, She's like, Dad, do you like it? Uh-huh. I did what every good father did. I lied. Crunch. And what do we do when they do something for us like that? Is, oh, this is the best. Do you like it? I like it. I love it. Now go somewhere else and let me hide this. Could you imagine if one of your children came to you to try to please you and bless you and you said, this is disgusting. You got shells in this. You burnt the toast. This coffee's disgusting. You're not a cook. What are you doing giving this to me? This is disgusting. Never cook again. Could you imagine doing that? So why do you imagine God doing that to you? But isn't that how you think when you hear God speak to you to do something and then all of a sudden it becomes about you and how people are going to receive you or how embarrassing it might be or what if you're wrong or what if you obey? And what if the worst thing that you did was missed it but you tried to please God? Because here's the thing is I can guarantee you will miss God every time when you don't try to please him. Let's just weigh this out just one more second because I think this is really important. So either you say something embarrassing and you go up to someone and you say something and you look silly, or You say something that sounds stupid to you, but it's a word from God and rocks their world, and then God meets them. Hold on. So the only thing at stake is your reputation. It's a good thing Jesus said, make yourselves up of no reputation. Watch, if the greatest prophet can miss it at times, we can miss it at times. But guess what? We will get it right every time when our only goal is to please God. Let me give you some practical advice. When you pray, ask God to give you his heart. It's a simple prayer. Whatever is on your heart, whatever you're passionate about, whatever you're drawn to, whatever that is, begin to ask God for his heart instead of yours. Lord, what do you say about the seven mountains? What do you say about entertainment? What do you say about the business ministry? What do you say about the marketplace? What do you say about evangelism? What do you say about this city? Give me your heart. Whatever it is that is on your heart, ask God for his. I love this. Ephesians 5:10, one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible, says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. How do you find out what pleases the Lord? You ask him. And his word will tell you. A pure heart pleases God. Do you know a pure heart is how you fulfill the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. How do you do that? How do you love God with all of your heart? You want to please him. When it's not about your retirement account, your bank account, what you drive, what you wear, how big your house is, when it's not about stuff, when it just becomes about pleasing him, that is a life that pleases God. When it's not about your followers, your success, your name, your fame, your reputation, but when it's just about pleasing God. Now, here's the crazy thing, is you don't always get it right. Why do you think David is praying, create in me a clean heart, oh God? And he's the one that God said he's a man who's after my own heart. Because watch, it doesn't matter how many mistakes he made. It didn't matter how many times he committed adultery or he was involved in wicked behavior or there was blood on his hands. Despite things that were on his hands, there was always purity in his heart. Because when he realized he sinned, it grieved him because he never wanted to grieve God. The pure in heart aren't perfect. The pure in heart are the ones that pray, Lord, I promise you I'll never do it again. And maybe you've prayed that a few times. That's not a reflection that you're not a good person. It's actually the opposite. It's a reflection that you're pure of heart. And that despite where you're at today or where your struggles are, your heart's desires is no matter what to please God. A pure heart blesses God. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And he blesses you by allowing you to fully see him and know him. Purity is found within, and so is your ability to see God. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see the mirror daily, dimly, that them face to face, but now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. What does the scripture say? It's saying this, is that when you see God truly and you know God truly, greater depths of him are being revealed. Pastor Jasmine talks about or sings about seeing another side of him. See, there's a fullness of God. There is a depth of God. There is a side of God. There is a part of God that you could only see or know if you're pure of heart. That's why it's the Mercy Culture benediction. Teach us your ways that we would know you and find favor. See, seeing God is about God allowing you to see through his eyes. Those that see God, this is so important, you need to hear this, know his spirit. If you hear anything today, you need to hear that. Those that know God know the Holy Spirit. A blind man saw Jesus. Find this in John 9:1-2. This is our story. He encounters God. And then he quickly, after he encounters Jesus, he encounters a spirit of religion through people. John 9, beginning in verse 1, he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, this is the disciples asking this question for Jesus. So the first wave of attacks on this guy come from the disciples. And they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" Isn't it interesting that anytime anything goes wrong in life, the first response is there must be sin in your life. There wasn't sin in Jesus' life when he was in the middle of a storm. There wasn't sin in Jesus' life when he's being betrayed by one of his own. Just because something's going wrong doesn't mean you're doing things wrong. It actually can mean you're doing things right. And it could be that God is using some of these hard situations to begin to purify your heart. Maybe without some of these challenges, you would not learn what you needed to learn. Maybe without these challenges, you would not see what you needed to see or know about God, what you needed to know about God, unless you went through some of these hard challenges. There's so many individuals that are asking God to take away spiritual promotion that only come through challenges. I remember one time I was praying to the Lord. I was like, "Lord, you won't give me more than I can handle. You won't give me more. Just would you just take it from me? Would you just take it from me?" And I clearly heard him say, he said, "You know you're asking me not to bless you." I'm like, "No, I'm just asking you just to help me." And he said, no. He said, "I am trying to develop you." He said, "Quit praying and telling me what you can't handle." He said, "Start asking me to give you the ability to handle more." Praying the wrong prayer the whole time. Watch, because it keeps you at the level of spiritual maturity you've always been. And you turn around and you say the same thing, "Pastor, I can't handle it." You know what you're really saying? "I can't handle the anointing. I can't handle promotion. I can't handle the gift of healing. I can't handle this kind of authority. I don't want to be used by God. I can't handle it." The first thought was something was wrong with him. John 9, 24. Then the Pharisees came and interrogated him. And then they came again. Here's what the Pharisees said. They said, for the second time, the Pharisees called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God, for we know that this man," or Jesus, "is a sinner." You gotta see this. They are calling the most purest of heart ever a sinner. I'm gonna say that again. They are calling the most purest man, who only by his blood are we saved, a sinner. This is the spirit of religion. That you are so blinded by your self-righteousness. You are so blinded by your own created holiness. You are so blinded by your godliness that now nobody else could ever be good enough. That you call the things that God put his blood over impure. Did you hear that? This is what the spirit of religion does. It forever looks down on all things and everything and makes you go through them for God. A blind man with a pure heart encounters God, then he encounters a religious spirit. Look at John 9, 34. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin. Who are you to teach us?" Then they cast him out. They go to him once, interrogated him, and they did not get the answer that they wanted. They wanted him to turn on Jesus. And after he could not turn on Jesus, they went to his parents. The parents were so intimidated by them that they said, "We don't have anything to tell you. He's a grown man. Go ask him." So they go back to him a second time, and the interrogation continues till they find the answer they're looking for. And the answer they're looking for is complete spiritual domination. Oh, no, it wasn't Jesus. I don't know. Over and over, they said, who is he? He said, he was just some man. They asked him again, who is he? He said, he must be a prophet. They kept on pushing back on him, looking for the answer. Listen to this. The sin of religion is simply this. They don't really love God, and they don't really love people. They pretend to. It's a foul spirit. There's crosses that are hung up, but it has nothing to do with Jesus on the cross. They know about him, but they don't know him. The religious spirit run Jesus' fan page. That they draw people to themselves so they can tell them about someone they don't know. The religious spirit is what hurts people. The religious spirit is a Jezebel spirit. The religious spirit is a seductive spirit. The religious spirit draws people to themselves. The religious spirit tells you you hurt the church. The religious spirit tells you that you're dirty, you're sinful. The religious spirit always tries to press people down. And more than anything at all, of all, the religious spirit always, under all circumstances, always resists and mocks the Holy Spirit. Watch this. God opposed Satan. Then the Pharisees opposed Jesus. And now today, the same religious spirit opposed the Holy Spirit. Spirit of religion tries to keep women bound and suppressed. The spirit of religion makes you look like think you're a fool or you're a weirdo or you're psycho when you encounter God. The spirit of religion has a PhD in how God doesn't move, but they can never tell you how God does move because they have no in relationship with the Holy Spirit. They mock tongues. They mock a move of the spirit. They mock prophecy. They mock women in ministry. They mock everything they don't understand, and because they have no intimacy with God, they have to try to destroy the other's intimacy that they have with God. It is a spirit that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and it suffocates the church. It's an intimidating spirit. Who are you to talk to us? The spirit of religion uses your past against you. It's your testimony until you're not friends with them anymore. Then it becomes your current situation. If you leave their church, your testimony is used against you like it's your present. It's a spirit of religion that tries to destroy people and is wicked. Spirit of religion always resists the Holy Spirit. They'll send you a YouTube video. Watch this. Watch this. So the group of people that get around that hate the Holy Spirit and will try to use some scriptures that are taken out of context to try to lie, manipulate, and steal from you, to steal your relationship with the Holy Spirit. They read the scripture and then they jump and dance around every scripture that mentions the Holy Spirit. But the problem is the ones that dance around in scripture are the ones that forbid dancing in church. See, it's amazing because these people do not have a revelation of who God is, even though they talk about him nonstop. They're not your friends on Facebook, because it's all they do is want to argue about the things they know, but they don't know him because they don't have a relationship with him. It is a foul spirit. One blind man who's pure in heart encounters Jesus, and then a religious spirit wants to attack his encounter. You weren't speaking in tongues. You just made that up. Yeah, that's what I do. I walk around and I gibber to myself. Thank you for your ministry. Spirit of religion intimidates people. It crushes people. I had a single mom come to me one time. And she said, Pastor, I got to get baptized again. I said, again? She said, yeah. I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but not Jesus. Would you do it again? No. Give me the number of that religious. Let me talk to him. Who tries to go and be spiritually superior to a single mom that's just trying to make it. That's just doing her best to keep her son in church. and you're coming to harass her like she didn't get baptized right. Oh, I'm sorry, the thief that was on the cross, I'm not sure what he was baptized in, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Jesus, but Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. It is a religious spirit that will try to talk you out of your God encounter. I feel the Holy Ghost. Guess what? It's a good thing. It's our vision to daily encounter every day. You can't talk me out of this every day. You can't talk me out of my God encounter every day. You're not there with me on Tuesday to talk me out of it. You're not there with me on Friday when Danny's singing Holy Adonai on YouTube. You're not there to talk me out. You know the problem with the religious spirit? They can only catch you on Facebook. They can't catch you in the holy place. They can't catch you in the secret place. They've never been to it, so they can't talk you out of it. They can't find you there on your knees crying before the Lord, and nobody's around you. You don't need a choir. You don't need a worship leader. You just need Him. You can try to talk me out of one encounter, but you can't talk me out of a daily encounter. I don't even know where I am. Worship team, come and join me. But Keem, stay there. I heard the Lord say He was going to heal you today from a religious spirit encounter. And I just submit this to you, but I even felt like it was a white spiritual leader related. And even as you played today, I felt waves of healing that were coming to you and then through you. Don't clap. Just let him. It's not an accident that you're here in this environment. And you can't come and host the presence and not experience His healing power. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to our friend. I pray you would touch him. Hakeem, I would ask you on behalf spiritual leaders, forgive me on behalf of them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir up within this young man everything that they tried to take, but magnify it. I pray that you would put the heart of heaven in him as the beats of heaven flow through him. Look at this text. John 9:34. They answered him, "You are born in utter sin. Man, who are you? Who are you? You're no one. You're nothing. You're foul. You struggle with same-sex attractions. You're not pure. You're divorced. You struggle with alcohol. You struggle with addiction. You're nothing. You're no one. You're a sinner. Who are you to teach us?" Just because some people's struggles are obvious, while others' wickedness is buried deep. And they cast him out. Do you understand how significant this is? his parents were afraid to even talk to the Pharisees because they didn't want to be cast out. No, you need to hear this. They had to go back to him and harass him again just to properly reject him. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. I began to weep for you. Probably cried more writing this message than any message I've ever written at Mercy Culture. Because I heard the Holy Spirit say, you're like that man. You encountered God. And then religion encountered you. And some of you have been abused by a religious spirit. It's not the church. It's a religious spirit. Some of you have been rejected and cast out and abused and manipulated and taken advantage of as they hid behind spiritual titles. And here's what the scripture says. In John 9:35, Jesus heard that they cast him out. Jesus heard that they rejected him. And it says this, having found him. After he encountered religion and he was rejected, Jesus went to find him. And he said to him, you called me a man, and you called me a prophet, but blind man, you're about to really see, because you have a pure heart, and your pure heart blessed me. And so I'm gonna bless you, and you're gonna see with not just natural eyes, but you're gonna see with spiritual eyes who you've been talking to the whole time. You've been talking to God. Do you see me now? I'm comforting. Do you see me now? I found you. Do you see me now? I'm pulling you out of the miry clay and putting your feet upon a solid rock. Do you see me now? Some of you have been like a man that you have been encountered God, and then you encountered religion. And I want you to know that Jesus came looking for you today. He's running after you today. His greatest desire is to be with you today. His greatest desire is to heal you today. And his greatest desire, because you've blessed him, is to bless you by allowing you to know him. Not just know about him, to intimately know his spirit. Oh, with everything in me, I didn't want to pastor. It was never because I didn't love God or not love people. But I've just been rejected so much by the spirit of religion. And I told the Lord, but I said no until he found me. Until he comforted my heart and showed me a side of him that I had never seen. A side where church wasn't about a man. A side where church wasn't about politics. A side where it's not about a show. A side where it's just about him and his presence. He said, Landon, he said, just build it around me. Just build it around me. And today, I want you to know that today you have an opportunity just to build your life around him. Not a man, not a church, not a religion. Just build it around him, where you just know that you know one thing, that he healed you. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he done, but I just know that he healed me. And the God that healed me, I want to know the God that encounters
stirs me. I want to know his spirit. I know they told me the Holy Spirit is fake. I know they told me it's mysticism. I know they told me it's not real. I know they said it's about a bunch of radicals. But I just want to know the healer. I want to know the God that heals. I want to know the God that saves. I want to know the God that sets free. That is the only God I want to know. I heard the Holy Spirit say that you've been hurt by a religious spirit. And on Thursday, I just started weeping. Because he said, Landon, I'm coming to heal him. He's coming to heal every heart. He's coming to the pure in heart. He's coming to heal your heart. He's coming to restore your heart. He's coming to set you free. He's going to take the pain away. He's going to take the shame away. He's going to take the words of curses of witchcraft away. He's going to take the words that you're just trying to be seen. You're just trying to get attention. You're just doing it about you. You're a woman. You can't preach. You're this. You're that. You can't. You won't. You'll never. And what he's doing today is he's coming and saying, I found you today. I want you today. I'm healing you today. I'm setting you free today. And today, you're going to know me. I heard him say, you are pure in heart. They told you you weren't. But the one who told you that doesn't know God. You are pure in heart. You just need a healing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title is. I don't care how long you serve God. If you say, I need my heart healed, get down to this altar as fast as you can.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.